Brethren, let's open our devotional service this morning with the use of hymn 350, O Come All Ye Faithful. You won't need your books. The words will be on the screen. So if we could get the lights, please, Brother Avram. And at the conclusion of the hymn, we'll be led in opening prayer by Brother Erwin Kalinske. O come, all you faithful.
Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you at this time to thank you for this opportunity to gather together to honor and adore your holy name. We thank you for the birth of your Son. We thank you for the wonderful talk that we heard this morning, that would inspire us and that we would press along the narrow way. We praise you and thank you for opening our eyes and have so many brethren with us to honor thee. And now we ask a blessing upon Brother Brett as he directs us through music. And we thank you that we're created, that we could understand music in the harmony to glorify and honor your holy name. We ask a blessing upon all of us as we strive to please you. We praise you and thank you for all things. We ask this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Well, brethren, we're pleased to have the opportunity to worship this hour in honor of our dear Savior's birth, the greatest gift that we as humans have ever received. So let's put our full attention on our Heavenly Father and his love for righteousness and goodness and his love for us, and let's marvel at the glorious birth of dear Jesus. Our last two discourses given by Brothers Joe and Tom, respectively, have taught us lessons about who Jesus was, what he accomplished, and what being a follower of his truly means. They reminded us of how meaningful his birth was and of what future joy it means for all of the world of mankind. Jesus' birth has been noted significantly in the Christian world too, and while Few may understand all that his birth, life, death, and resurrection have accomplished. Few occasions merit this sort of attention where righteousness and goodness are celebrated throughout the world. And we're pleased to join with others who also revere in this joy. We have this and greater truth, knowing what this saving will truly mean. And let's not take for granted this privilege to use this knowledge for our mutual edification. And after all, it's to our blessing that we meet together this day and bring glory to our Father that we do so in praise and in song. Our title is taken from two common elements found in many Christmas hymns, angels and shepherds. Outside of the precious babe in the manger, these are often the subject of the Christmas message written in song, largely based on the accounts of Matthew and Luke. Many Christian hymns we hear frequently. We sing them, we hum them, but we're not always thinking about the glorious events and the meaning that they portray. In this hour of devotion, let us raise up our voices in the honor of our Savior, Jesus the Anointed. Let's really listen to the words that come out of our mouths. And as we hear with our ears the beautiful sounds and words, let's really try to imagine the glory that must have rang throughout heaven at the birth of the long-anticipated Messiah. We'll hear and sing some songs today that we don't always sing together at this or at any other time, but I think you'll recognize the tunes and you'll be able to follow along with the words on the screen. Angels have been a part of the most significant events throughout human history. From the Garden of Eden and their watch care there, they appeared to and guided Abraham, Jacob, Gideon. They stopped the mouths of the lions for Daniel. They gave prophecy to the prophets. And whenever something needed to be told or announced to man, or whenever God's guidance was requested or simply needed by man, say, even the selection of a wife for someone named Isaac, the angels were there. There are far more appearances of angels throughout the scriptures than I first realized. There are many instances of their interaction with man throughout the Old Testament. They were everywhere man was seeking to do Jehovah God's will. Prior to the birth of Jesus, perhaps more than at any other time, angels were obviously man's connection to the spiritual, celestial world. Let's consider again the scriptures in Luke 2 that we've heard and have already read today, specifically those relating to the angels. So if we could have a microphone to Sister Lori Kadish, please.
Luke 2:8-14. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased."
Consider these angels. They brought the glory of the Lord. They brought good news of great joy for all of the people. There's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then there appeared a multitude of the heavenly host saying, "Glory to God in the highest." What a miraculous sight this must have been. It's especially important to notice that the angels both foretold and announced the birth of Jesus, and they did so in dramatic fashion. Never before and not yet since have these angels been so pleased, so overjoyed that they appeared with shepherds and shared their glorious news. They knew Jesus, they loved him, and what joyful news they had to share with man, with all the people. Let's join our voices together to a familiar song to us, but one that's not in our hymnals. Angels from the Realms of Glory. Shepherds have been around since the beginning of man. A shepherd is constantly on the watch for the care of others than himself. And a shepherd will put himself at risk to save just one lost sheep. But it's a humble work, and while simple, it's very valuable in the plan of God. The profession must help develop the kind of character and purity of heart that God seeks in man. Else why would there be so many heroes of faith that were shepherds? Adam's faithful son Abel was a shepherd, offering his best in sacrifice to God. Abraham kept flocks. Moses learned to be humble by tending his father-in-law's flocks. And David, of course, was the mild shepherd who killed a lion and a bear and a giant Philistine, who was bold with the power of the Lord. It seems that these shepherds were fit for the Lord's service, and each in their own way knew that the Lord was their own shepherd, directing their paths and caring for each of them. This combination of character strength found and rooted in God made these shepherds a perfect choice for hearing the message of good news proclaimed by these angels, and as Brother Tom suggested, those best fit to recognize the true Lamb of God. Let's consider again the scriptures we read this morning in Luke 2, and Sister Julie Vasilovich will read a continuation of that chapter.
Luke 2:15-20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Consider these shepherds. Remember in verse 8 that they were watching their flocks at night, not sleeping. When they heard the amazing news, they took action and they hurried to Bethlehem. They became bearers of the messages that they received of the angels, and they delivered that to Mary. When they went back, what did they do? They glorified and praised God, of course. Indeed, they believed, and they were ready in their hearts. They were man's witnesses to the glorious message of a multitude of angels. Like these shepherds in the field at night in Bethlehem, we have the privilege to share the amazing things that we have heard and seen from on high. Let's sing together, "Go Tell It on the Mountain."
Thank you.
Turning our thoughts now from the messengers of the miraculous birth and from the shepherds to the significance of the prophecy that foretold it and to the one who was born, we're pleased to hear our fellow man worship God, aren't we? And when we hear them taking part in recognizing and celebrating the birth of his only begotten Son, it does warm our hearts, and we think of what they'll appreciate in the kingdom. There are some talented voices out there, and each of us has our own taste as to what that is. There's a hymn, "Lo, How a Rose Are Blooming," that's been recorded by many Christian and popular artists alike. And somewhat less traditionally arranged than by others, let's pause and rest our voices by listening to a sober version of this beautiful hymn performed by the artist Sting. A live performance to follow that up, and we'll have this performance done by our brother Sebastian and Justin. Brother Sebastian will be on the guitar, and Sebastian will be on the guitar, and Justin will be on the cello. Thank you. What child was this? This was the child Jesus, who grew up serving his heavenly Father, who was at the age of 12 in the temple, being about his Father's business. This is the one that was written of by Peter. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. It's from 1 Peter 3:18 and 22. This is the child that would become King of Kings, our beautiful Savior. Let's once again turn our voices upwards in worship of the one whom we celebrate today. And let's sing, Beautiful Savior. Indeed, what a beautiful Savior we have. What amazing things he's done for us, all in the name of his Father. And because of him and his love for us, we enjoy a relationship with both him and his Father. There are some songs and hymns that just evoke more emotion from us than others. The combination of the forceful music and powerful words is nowhere found more glorifying than in Handel's Messiah, the story of our Lord, as told to us through the prophets, Isaiah especially, and the gospel writers. Incline your ear, dear brethren, as this prophecy is announced to us by the London Philharmonic. So inspiring. As close as it gets possibly to, for us to be able to imagine the glorious sounds of the multitude of angels. A relatively modern hymn set to a familiar tune from Bring a Torch, Jeanette Isabella, is the hymn Love Has Come. And this emphasizes the outcome of Jesus' birth and what it has really meant to Christians everywhere. The idea of gift-giving has been long associated with the manifestation of love, and what greater gift could one give than their only begotten, their chiefest possession, their most precious treasure? It's hard for us to comprehend and appreciate this as much as we should. Let's sing Love Has Come together, and Sister Tamara, will you please play this through once for us so we get an idea of what the sound is, and then we'll all join in and sing it through on the second go around with the first verse. Thank you for this opportunity to worship with you this afternoon. And we especially thank our Heavenly Father for this privilege of knowing Him well enough to praise Him. We feel that His love shining broadly in our lives should illuminate the remainder of our day, our coming week, our year ahead. And it should illuminate even the remainder of our days when we realize just how much we are loved. And just how much this gift of Jesus, the Anointed, should mean to us. He is our shepherd, our King, and that is enough. He gives us rest in green pastures, and He leads us beside still waters. Our cups run over with blessing, don't they? Let us conclude our service of worship by singing together another beautiful hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. This has got lovely words that are put to the music of Beethoven's Ode to Joy. Let's all rise for the singing. There are two verses, so why don't we rise for both of them? And then at its conclusion, we'll ask Brother Richard to say a word of prayer and close our day of worship.
Dear gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the gift of Jesus. How thankful we are that we can come together and raise our voices, raise our hearts in praise, thinking on His birth and His coming so humbly into this world that He might be our Savior. We thank You, dear Lord. And we pray that we would keep the Savior in our thoughts and in our hearts and in our joy each day. And we pray Your blessing upon us, Lord, as we depart. We pray Your continuance with us. We pray that this groaning creation might be delivered from its travail into the glorious, into that glorious, glorious promised time when the sons of God are revealed. And we pray that You would hasten the day, dear Lord, and ask all of these blessings not only upon us, but upon the dear ones, Your dear ones throughout the earth, upon mankind. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nice problem over here.